All righty, so let's begin tonight. Let's open up with a word of prayer. If somebody can close those two back doors, that would be awesome tonight. Somebody can close those two back doors. That would be great tonight. All right. With these wires sticking out of me here, so let me just kind of... Let's open up in a word of prayer tonight, guys. Father God, we come to you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, tonight, and God, we just thank you, Lord, for giving us another day, for giving us fresh breath today. And we just love you so very much because you first loved us. God, I just pray that your presence is here tonight and you minister to us through your word, through the praise and worship, Father God. And Father God, I pray that anybody who has a need tonight, God, you know exactly what it is, from the very smallest to the very biggest. And I pray, God, that you meet us, that you meet these precious people at the point of their need tonight, in Jesus' precious and holy name. God, and I just pray that you would just enlighten it to us, Father God. You would reveal to us what true worship is before you, and that tonight we would practice that, Father God. Not just tonight, Father God, but even in our private devotional times, that we would practice times of worship with you, Father God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. All right, guys. Well, you know, over the last 6 or 7 weeks, I started this series called Growing in God, and, you know, like in the natural human realm, you're born out of your mother's womb as a baby, as an infant, and you eventually grow into adulthood. Guys, it's the same way in the spiritual realm. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were born as a babe into the kingdom of God. The question is, does God want you to remain as a spiritual infant in His kingdom? No, guys, He wants you to mature into spiritual adulthood in your walk with Him. And we discussed several things, several disciplines over the last month and a half on how to grow in your spiritual relationship with God. And one of those things was to fellowship with people who are stronger Christians than you. Because when you're in a downtime spiritually, they can help pick you up. We talked about getting into the Word of God, getting a closer look and perspective into the nature of God by getting into His autobiography, His Word. Getting into the Word of God is a way of growing closer to God. Another way to grow closer to God in your walk with Him is by giving out of yourself to those less fortunate than yourself. So you might be thinking tonight, well, Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. How can I give out? Guys, there is somebody out there in greater need than you. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can step out beyond yourself and minister to them. And as you do, it brings you closer to God. It increases you. It matures you spiritually. And over the last couple of weeks, we discussed prayer. And how many people here have built a relationship with another human being without spending time with them? Without spending time with them. It's far and few and in between. And, you know, to build a relationship with someone, you've got to spend time with them and exchange conversations. Guys, it's the same way with God. To build your spiritual relationship, your friendship with God, you've got to spend time with Him in prayer. Talked about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we basically spoke on how to approach God in prayer concerning your needs. How do you pray to God concerning the needs in your life? You pray according to His will, which is His Word, right? So if you're facing a need of physical healing in your life, if you're sick somewhere in your body, the Word of God tells us in Isaiah that Jesus took those wounds upon Himself so that we can be what? So that we can be healed. So when you approach God in prayer concerning your need, you're like, God, you know, I'm sick in my body, but your word says, your will says that I am healed by the stripes you took upon your back, and I'm standing in faith, I'm praying in faith that you heal me completely. So when we pray to God, we pray the will of God, which is praying this word of God. In order to know how to pray the will of God or the word of God, you've got to get into it. You've got to read it. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to chew the cud of the word of God. Amen? Does that make sense tonight? So praying not just words in the air, careless words, but praying these words written thousands of years ago. Amen? Tonight, I want to talk about, for the next few minutes, another spiritual discipline in growing in your relationship with God. Another spiritual discipline that will help you grow in your walk with God. How many here want to remain spiritual infants in the kingdom of God? Spiritual babies. Nobody, right? You want to mature into adulthood in your walk with God, right? How many here tonight? How many here tonight are glad they're adults and not little babies crawling around, right? It's got to be in the same way in the kingdom of God, guys. You don't want to be little babies crawling around in the kingdom of God. You want to mature into an adult. And one of the ways to do that is to worship God. Now, a lot of people in this world worship, right? But it's not necessarily God that they're worshiping. And it's even the same way with some Christians. They're worshiping, but it's not necessarily God that they're worshiping. Now, listen to this tonight, guys. Anything or anyone that a person spends too much time, energy, and effort on, they are doing what? They are worshiping it. It becomes their idol. Anything or anyone that you spend too much time, effort, and energy on, you are worshiping. And it becomes eventually an idol. And what do people do with idols? They bow down to idols, right? And whatever a person spends a lot on, if you're spending a lot of time, no questions at this time, if you're spending a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy on someone or something, guess what? You become closer to that person or that thing. Your heart becomes tied to it. Does that make sense tonight? Whatever you're spending a lot on, you're becoming closer to. You know, in this world, people spend a lot on cars, houses, boats, careers, relationships, and even money. Some people spend a lot of their time and effort on self-pity. And self-pity becomes like their idol. Your heart starts becoming attached to the thing you spend a lot of time on. And you know, my parents have this neighbor, Broken Arrow, and I just remember 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and even up to present day, she'd always be out doing something in her garden, sprucing up her house, making it more beautiful. And just about every conversation I had with this woman, she'd be talking about her house. It's almost like she made her house like a little shrine, like she was bowing down to her house. She's got like the most beautiful landscaping in the neighborhood. She talked about the new paint job on the inside and the new this and the new that. She was basically bowing down to the idol of her house. And guys, it may not be a house in your case, but it may be a person that you're making an idol in your life, a relationship. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:21? Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And this is the way I'll put it. Where the treasure of your time, money, and effort is, there your heart will be also. The thing that you spend your time, your money, and your effort upon is what your heart becomes attached to. But guys, I'm here to tell you tonight that God, the maker of this universe, is the only one. God and God alone is worthy of our worship. Do you agree with that tonight? See, a lot of us agree with it intellectually, and I mean, I'm preaching to myself tonight, because there's things in my life in the past and even present day that sometimes I spend a little too much time on, a little too much effort on, a little too much energy on. And it has become like my idol, and I've got to catch myself at those times and say, God, forgive me. I just want to worship you. So how many here tonight have done the same thing where you've spent too much on something or somebody? But the Word of God tells us that God and God alone is the only one worthy of our worship. And what is worship, guys? And I've done this study from the original Hebrew language. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And worship means this. It means to prostrate in homage to God. In other words, to lay yourself down in respect to God. To bow oneself down, to humbly beseech or ask, to reverence or to respect. It could also mean to respect the worth and the value of someone. That's what worship is. This is the way I'll put it, guys. Worship is this. Worship is like equivalent to love. When you think of worship, think love for God. God is second to none. He will not take second place. Look at Exodus. He said it from the very beginning of time. Exodus 20. Exodus 20 in the Ten Commandments. This is what he says in verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Guys, God is second to none. He will not take second place. He says, I am a God of emotions. I am a jealous God. Do not bow down or worship anything or anyone. The only one you're to bow down to and worship, God is saying, is me, is Him. He's the only one worthy of our worship. So when you think of the word worship, think of the word love for God. And how do you express that love for God? The way the Hebrew says it, you bow down before Him. That's a demonstration of your worship to God. You know, some people will close their eyes as a demonstration of their respect for God. Some people will lift their hands saying, God, I am totally surrendered to you. I bow down to you. I love you. And thus I demonstrated with uplifted hands. See, uplifted hands, closed eyes, bowing down, those are just demonstrations of your love, of your worship for God. Does that make sense tonight? God is second to none. Now, let me ask you this. Why? I think the big question tonight I want to address for the next few minutes is this. Why do we worship God? Why do we worship or love God? Why do we do it? Because as human beings, as logical human beings, we like to know the reason to certain questions, right? It just motivates us a little more to do something when we know why, right? When we know why we're doing something sometimes, you know? So tonight, I want to discuss why we worship God. Why do we do it? Why do we do it? Some may worship God just to get something from God, and that's a wrong motive. I want to read you this story here. It's called Jesus and Worship. It was a message spoken by Judson Cornwell at Christ for the Nations in Dallas about 10 years ago. And listen to the story. Many years ago, I came home from work one day, and my daughter, seeing that I was in the front room, came over and lowered herself onto my lap. She had me wrapped around her little finger when she was still in the hospital. She controlled Daddy from day one. She was the only one of my daughters who could beat the dog to my lap when I sat down. She was always the hugging and the kissing one. When I came in, she put her arms around me, ran her fingers through my hair, and kissed my cheek. Oh, it felt wonderful. She had not sat in my lap for long when the light went on. I took her shoulders, pulled her away so I could look at her in the eye, and said, "Honey, what do you want?" She got off my lap and said, "I'm surprised that you would think such a thing, Dad." I said, "Honey, hold it. This is Daddy. I know you. Now, before you answer me, let me tell you something. I don't usually bring home the church problems, but right now I'm at loggerheads with the church board. I may well be fired, and I'm under great pressure. Just to have you come in and sit on my lap was such a healing balm. Until I realized that you were just buttering me up to get something." This is what Dad sensed. She was always so tender. The tears began coursing down her cheeks. I said, "Honey, let's make a little covenant agreement. From now on, if you ever come and sit in my lap, let it be because you love me, not because you want to motivate me to do something for you. You're my last daughter at home. I don't have much, but everything I have is yours. If you have a need, just write it on a piece of paper and put it on my dinner plate." What a thing to say, right? "When I bow my head to pray, I'll read it. And if I can handle it, I'll nod, and you'll know you've got it. If it's a little bigger than I can handle, we'll see if we can work something out. You don't have to beg or bribe, just ask Daddy for it." In tears, she tore to the bedroom and threw herself on the bed. But before the springs of her bed even stopped squeaking, the Spirit spoke to me. Spirit of God, how about us? Every time you begin to worship, we wonder what it's going to cost us. Judson, can you do for us what you ask your daughter to do for you? If you have a need, just write it down. If we can afford it, you've got it. Next time you come to praise, we want it to be just because of us. Us meaning the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We need to learn to separate our petitions, our requests from our praise. If we do, we meet needs in God. We satisfy Him and we fulfill Him. We receive His love and respond to His love without throwing in 57 prayer requests. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm a man of prayer. I believe in prayer. I've written on prayer. I've taught prayer. I've done prayer conferences. And I believe that one of the greatest needs in the church today is prayer. Here's the big clincher, guys. But if we can learn to adore Him just for who He is and not what we can get from Him, we'd be amazed at what we can get from Him. Adoring God just for who He is. And it's quite longer here, but I'm going to pull out something really important that he says here about why we are to worship God. And some people worship God, like he was saying in the story, just to get something from the hand of God, just to get a gift from the giver of all good gifts. But God is saying, I want you to worship me just for who I am. Love me just for who I am. And when you do, you will also get what I have. And this is what he says in this article. He says, pastors and worship leaders alike must major in bringing a revelation of Jesus to the people. For to behold Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to worship Him. So let me reveal to you, or repeat, you've heard this before probably, why we worship God. Because of what Jesus did, guys, 2,000 years ago. The Word of God says in 1 John 4:19 that we love because of what? Because He first loved us. We worship God and express our love in worship because He first what? Loved us. That's why we worship. 1 John 4:10. Let's turn there for just a moment. 1 John 4:10. It says this. It says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us first and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Sent the Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Let's look at what Jesus says in John 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13. As to why we worship and love God, because He first loved us. Look at this. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. How many agree with that tonight, that that's the greatest demonstration or act of love, is someone laying down their life for another person? How many agree with that tonight? That that is the greatest act and demonstration of love, is someone laying down their life for you. If you agree, say amen. 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 That's the greatest act of love, and that's what Jesus did 2,000 years ago in laying down His life for you and for me. Guys, we were hell-bound eternally. Could you imagine being separated from God forever and ever and ever in hell? Jesus came and He laid down His life for us so that we would not have to be separated from God, so that we could be heaven bound. And when we realize how much He loved us, it's like it makes us want to love Him back. Do you agree? It makes us want to worship Him. Worship is like an act of gratitude. It's like saying, God, I thank You for sending Your Son 2,000 years ago. My way of saying thank You to You, God, is by worshiping You. And the way I demonstrate my worship is by bowing down to You, is by closing my eyes, is by lifting my hands, is by singing praises to You. Does that make sense tonight? Amen? We love because He first loved us. Another thing, guys, is this. Another reason we worship God is because we owed a debt for our sins that we could not pay. Guys, we had a mountain of sin in the sight of God. And guess what? He sent us His very best 2,000 years ago, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, to pay a debt that He did not owe for our sins. Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. It's basically saying what I said just a few minutes ago. Now think about this illustration for a minute. It may make it a little clearer for you. Say that you own a little house, or in the future you may own a little house, or you owned a house in the past. Just imagine that you own a little house, right? It's the biggest investment you've ever made, right? You own this house. Put a lot of money into it, a lot of time into it, so forth and so on. And you get behind on your bills one day, and you take out a loan of $10,000 to pay some of those back bills, and you take out that money against this little house. Make sense so far? $10,000. Well, you sign the mortgage papers, the loan papers, and it says, well, if you can't pay back the loan, we're going to take your house from you. So you end up missing about 7 or 8 payments. And the mortgage company, the loan company comes after you and says, we're taking your house from you. And you're so down on the inside. It's like, my goodness, I've got a debt that I cannot pay. This is the roof over my family's head. This is all I've got. I've worked for this all my life. You know, I mean, I've got to raise my family in this. My goodness, what am I going to do? So you end up becoming friends with a man named Abraham. Just some guy that you know. And Abraham is a prosperous man. He's got financial means. Alrighty? Talk to him and you're just pouring out your heart to Abraham. He's a good Christian man. And Abraham, you know what? I'm about to lose my house. I've got this $10,000 bill that I cannot pay. Never knowing that Abraham has money. So eventually, Abraham says, you know what? You've touched my heart. I'm going to write you a check for the full $10,000 and pay your loan. Is that awesome? Guys, your house is saved. Abraham paid a debt that he did not owe for you of $10,000. And you're like overly joyed. You like hit the ceiling in joy. You're so happy. You're like, thank you. What can I do to say thank you to you, Abraham? He says, well, next week I need somebody to help me out 75 hours on a business of mine. Would you help me out? Sure, Abraham. That's your way of saying thank you to Abraham for paying your debt. Guys, Jesus Christ paid a debt worth a lot more than $10,000. A lot more. And we need to say thank you back to him in our worship. In our love back to him, right? Demonstrated. And just bowing down before him. Does that make sense tonight? He paid a debt that he did not owe. Because we owed a debt that we could not pay. Look at John chapter 12, real quick. Last scripture here. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Why we worship? Because God first loved us in sending Jesus Christ. John 12, verses 1 through 3. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What was Mary doing in wiping his hair, wiping his feet with her hair? And pouring perfume on him, on his feet? What was she doing to Jesus? She was doing what? She was worshiping him. Worshiping him. Now guys, if you read the previous chapter, John 11, what did Jesus do for Mary first? If you read John 11, you find out that Mary's brother Lazarus had died. And Mary was broken hearted. Both Mary and Martha were broken hearted. And guess what Jesus did? He raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days of being dead. In raising Lazarus, Jesus was telling Mary, I love you. I'm demonstrating my love toward you by raising your brother Lazarus from the dead. And I really believe in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that Mary, in response, was loving Jesus back by worshiping him with the perfume and wiping his feet with her hair. It was her way of saying thank you. And God, Jesus, I love you. And I will wipe your feet because you first loved me in raising my brother from the dead. Does that make sense tonight? And guys, we're to love him back, we're to worship him back because he first loved us. And as you spend more time with God in worship, there's different ways to worship God. When you reach out to somebody who is in greater need than you, guess what, guys? You are worshiping God. You're worshiping God. And as you reach out to others, as you get into the Word, getting into the Word is an act of worship. In the session we're about to have, this is like singing praises as an act of worship to God. And the more time you concentrate on worshiping God, remember what I said, what you spend your time, your effort, and your energy on, you become what? You become attached to, you become closer to. As you spend more time with God in worship, more energy with God in worship, more effort with God in worship, you become more attached to whom? To God, right? You become closer to God, guys. So tonight, we're going to enter into a time of worship. We are going to say, God, we're going to worship you, God. We're loving you in this worship because you first loved us in sending your son, Jesus, 2,000 years ago so that I would not have to burn in hell forever. Amen? Amen. Think about it, guys. Whenever you may get tired and think, well, why should I worship God? Remember what he did 2,000 years ago in sending Jesus. That's the reason we worship him. He forget. You know, when God looks at you guys, you guys may have had a rough past. You may have done and said some pretty bad things in your past. Some really bad things. You know what they are. God knows. We don't know, but God knows and you know. Guess what, guys? When you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you became the righteousness of God in Christ. You were clothed with a robe of righteousness when you accepted Jesus. So that now when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sins. He doesn't see your past. Guess who he sees? He sees Jesus. He sees cleansing. He sees perfection. He sees you as righteous, as in right standing with him, justified, just as if I had never sinned. So in accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees none of your past sin. He sees none of your former history. He sees Jesus. And that's a reason to worship him. Because God doesn't hold it against you. It's the grace of God. What's the grace of God? The grace of God is getting something that we didn't deserve. And the thing that we got that we didn't deserve is forgiveness. The grace of God demonstrated in forgiveness. So at this time, Steve, if you would come up. If you have any words you'd like to share, go ahead. We're going to worship God, guys, and I ask you to reverence, because one of the meanings of worship is to reverence God, to respect God. No side talking, no side conversations, guys. And he goes on to say in this article, it's an awesome article, it's packed with sermons. He goes on to say that the only focus of our worship should be God. He even goes on to say this at one time. He says, even worship of pleasant religious sensations is self-worship. Are we worshiping to produce an emotional high? That's not the reason for worship. That shouldn't even be an acceptable byproduct of worship. This is worship of sensations and feelings. Some people don't feel they have had a real worship session if they have not run, danced, clapped, or shouted. Clapping, dancing, and bowing are at best a release or a demonstration of worship, but not worship itself. Worship of a pastor or leader is hero worship. And he says, if God the Father and the Son are not the object of our worship, we're involved in idol worship. No matter where it takes place or how we are performing it. Anything short of God that becomes an object of our worship is an idol to us. He makes it pretty tight, doesn't he? He makes it pretty tight. He says, anything except God and the Son that is the object of our worship is idol worship. Even, you know, some people get this emotional high when they worship. They think that's worship. No. That's worship of emotions. You know, clapping, dancing, and jumping up and down, that's just a product of your love or a demonstration, an expression of your love for God. And as you worship God, guys, I'll tell you, you will grow closer to him. Amen?